We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 225. Scott, I was at the game on Tuesday night. I think my limbs have finally de-thawed. What a miserable night at the in the Bronx that was. After such a fun night the night before. That's what this team has been. High one night, low the next night.
Yeah, you picked the wrong game, that's for sure. You definitely picked the wrong one. That one, I can only imagine how miserable. First of all, watching it on television, you could hear a pin drop in that place because it was just, everybody was cold. You could tell everybody was cold. You could tell everybody was freaking just like stunned, about what was happening on the field. It was just, it was a bad day. And I'm sorry that everybody had to witness that. Disgusting, disgusting baseball.
Ironically, the only time the stadium made some noise is when they were booing Stanton.
Right. Well, you know what? They're going to keep booing him because he's only gotten three hits at home. So you know what? Anybody who's saying you shouldn't boo the guy at this point, you really don't have a leg to stand on anymore because he's been downright abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It's been, they're 8-8 at this point. Doesn't it feel like a lot worse than 8-8 though?
Yeah, it's crazy because there's been so many good moments, but then there's been so many terrible moments. So, you know, like you said, it's kind of a, you know, there's no in between. It's just this team either is doing really well or not. So, you know, you have the euphoria of when they play really well, like on Monday night, and everything's going perfect, and the Marlins are that, you know, double, triple-A team that you expect them to be. Then all of a sudden you come back out the next day, and they forget that they're playing baseball, and the Marlins put up a freaking, you know, 9 spot. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
I think you mentioned this in the post-game video, and guys who are listening, if you don't realize, we've been putting up, either Scott or I, after every game, post-game videos on the Yankees podcast Twitter. But you said, like, this team just can't find a rhythm right now, and it's partially due to the weather, it's due to the schedule where they have a bunch of off days and rainouts and stuff like that, but for whatever reason, this team has not been able to find a groove. Maybe the stretch coming up, we're going to talk about the schedule coming up, but at least they're going to hopefully play, knock on wood, some consistent games, even though rain is in the forecast for Thursday night in the Bronx. After Thursday night, it looks decent.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I know a lot of people use the weather as a crutch, and I'm one of those people who think that a lot of baseball players don't get going until the weather, you know, warms up a little bit. I mean, I know it's not an excuse. I just think it's reality. But the fact is that the weather has created such a, you know, intermittent schedule. So these guys are not playing every day. They're playing, it seems like, every other day, or sometimes they don't even play for the weekend or what. And, you know, when you're in the major leagues and you're playing at this level, you're used to playing almost every day and you get into a rhythm, and they just haven't been allowed to do that with the crappy weather. And then just not scheduled days off, but days off because of rainouts and delays. It's just been a weird start. So I, you know, we have a huge stretch coming up, but at least there's a bunch of consecutive games together, and you know, maybe it could go really bad, but it could go well because, you know, who knows? They might hit a hot streak, or and it seems like when they do get it together, the team starts to put some hits together and runs start forming, and you know, maybe pitchers can build momentum off of each other. Who the hell knows? I'm talking out of my ass at a
right,
completely optimistic point of view, but this is where I am right now.
Well, be careful what you wish for, right? Because if you can't even take two from the Marlins at home, it's unacceptable. You've got the Marlins are a minor league team. I was calling them minor league Marlins on Monday and Tuesday, and I firmly believe that they are a minor league level team. They've got a couple of players in that lineup, obviously Castro, Boer, but come on, that is not a quality roster, and you got your teeth kicked in on Tuesday night. Just an absolute shit show. Before we get into everything, though, we just want to remind people about May 26th. It's our next event. Tickets are on sale now. It's a Saturday night game against Shohei Ohtani, who left with a little baby blister against the Red Sox, but he left the game. But hopefully he's going to be playing. Mike Trout's going to be in town May 26th, Saturday night. Get your tickets on sale now.
Beautiful. No, it's he had a bad game, but hopefully this guy plays because I want to see him live and in person. What would be amazing would be a Tanaka Ohtani showdown. That's what I want to see. That's like a must see television right there. The pupil versus the teacher. So that would be the best thing. But yeah, go definitely get some tickets. I told you we sold over 100 tickets already. We're not even a month from the event yet. And we're doing a special deal for the May game. If you put together if you're the organizer, if you're the captain of your crew, and you bring five or more, you get half off of your ticket. If you bring 10 or more, I will buy your ticket. So that's my standing offer. We want to pack the joint. We want to make sure that we have just a whole bunch of people. We have a lot of seats available for this particular game. So that's why I want to get as many people and offer incentives. So it'll be fun. Brewery, you get a beer with your ticket, you get a t-shirt, and you get to hang out with a whole bunch of cool people.
And you always bury the lead on this, but we have a lot of new listeners this year, so they might not be aware, but if you meet your significant other at one of these events, Scott's going to pay for your wedding.
Yeah, that's coming up too. We actually had that happen. And so we're working out details right now.
I'm pretty sure the wedding is a cheap wedding.
Yeah, the wedding's going to be at the dugout. there's gonna be like five, maybe six kegs of Natty Light. It's gonna be great.
A couple of pitchers, yeah. Some chicken tenders, yeah.
I'm not even getting it going as far as they're actually gonna mop the place beforehand. May or may not happen.
No, it's
probably will smell like the night before.
Yes, as well it should be. Okay,
yeah. So you'll get one by just what it'll look like.
The dugout brings back memories of just like my frat house in college. The morning after, just all the beer soaked wood. You know that smell of beer soaked wood.
Oh, I know it well. Yeah, it's a bad smell. It's Bourbon Street smells exactly the same way the day after. And they go down there and they take hoses on trucks and they just hose off the streets. It's crazy.
Well, but, fine.
That's exactly what it smells like.
It's fine when you only go in there for an hour or so pregame. It's kind of nostalgic. It brings back memories. But when you have to live in that filth, it's not so fun.
True. Very true. There's a limit for everything.
So I was at the game, as I said, Tuesday night, maybe one of the worst games I've ever attended. But I was doing a Periscope beforehand. And a lot of the questions fans were asking, who are the Yankees going to acquire at the trade deadline? We need to acquire someone at the trade deadline. And here we are sitting, they hadn't even lost at that point, but we're in mid to late April, and we're already talking about the trade deadline. And yeah, the Yankees could very well need some players to help them at the deadline, but can we figure out what this team is first? Because we still do not know what this team is.
I mean, first of all, the sky is not falling. Everybody thinks the sky is falling. That's one of the, if you're on Twitter or any of these social medias, a lot of people are just so down on this team right now. And I understand, like, it's not been a great start. But honestly, it hasn't been the worst start when you look at the record. It seems like it's a lot worse than it actually is. And there's a lot of guys that have been hurt. Like, this whole team has been decimated by injuries at the same time. So there's a pretty legitimate reason why they're not at full strength and why they're not clicking on all cylinders. I mean, half their team is gone or has been gone at some point. So I'm not worried about it. People need to relax about it a little bit, I think, and just kind of give it some time. That being said, yeah, they're going to have to, they'll go after somebody to put them over the top. Usually happens every single year. And most likely it'll be a pitcher. I mean, that's the where your head goes initially. But again, kind of like you said, you kind of have to see what this team is because you don't know. These injuries could escalate. There could be a guy that doesn't come back right, or a million things can happen. It's a long time away, so it's pure speculation at this point because you have no idea what the team's going to look like.
Yeah, I think Cashman's actually famous for saying that you don't really learn a lot about a team until June 1st. That's when you start to figure out what the team has for strengths, what it has for weaknesses. If you're trying to base something on 16 games of baseball, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. And, and it's the other way too. If you're going really, really well in the first 16 games, you might get overly confident, and then boom, you get hit by a big slump or a couple injuries, and then your team shows up. So you don't know. That's why there's no reason to freak out at this point. Like, there's guys, the main guys that we need right now are the ones, we need them to stay healthy. That's my big concern. Like, I want these guys to stay healthy, get their reps in, and just continue what they're doing. And we have some good stories. We have some bad stories, but let's see what this team looks like when they're all healthy.
Yeah, you mentioned half the team has been injured. There have been a number of injuries, but the big important players for the most part have been healthy. Judge is on the field, Stanton's on the field, Sanchez, Didi. Obviously, we lost Greg Bird, but the core of the lineup is still there. They just need to all start producing at the same time, because at this point, it's only Judge and Didi that have had any consistency this season.
All right. Well, I mean, Gary Sanchez started off terribly, but he's definitely come around now, and we're seeing over the past week or so the real Gary Sanchez. I mean, he's definitely hit his stride a bit more and has been contributing. So I'd put him on there as a guy with and it wasn't even a long slow start. It was a minor slow start. But when you're looking at a 16 game season, then everybody's like, oh, it's like half the season. Well, yeah, it's only 16 games, but he's been very good. And his production is you look at the numbers and he's got high production.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the guy with the highest production is Didi, who's been batting cleanup. He's got 5 homers, batting .333. The most surprising thing is the walks. He's got 14 walks. That's not something we expected. We talked about how there was a challenge from Boone to challenge Didi to be more patient. Well, shit, he's really gone and run with that. Is that sustainable, though? Is a higher OBP, higher slugging percentage Didi the real Didi? Or is he going to come back down, I don't want to say come back down to earth, but come back down to what he was last year a little bit more? The free-swinging guy who doesn't walk a lot. Yeah, he's going to hit you some home runs and get some extra base hits, but he's certainly not a high OBP guy.
I think it's the evolution of Didi Gregorius. I think we're seeing every single year him improving in certain aspects of his game. And, everybody knows that Boone challenged him to this being more patient at the plate and just kind of developing the at-bats a little bit more. And we're seeing, I think, another evolution of Didi being, just working on his game and being a better hitter. So I got no reason to think it's not sustainable, because every single year he's been in New York and in the pinstripes, this guy has improved in one aspect or multiple aspects in a given year. So, I have no reason to believe that he's not going to just continue to get better. And it's not just get better at one thing. It's not getting better at like the things that he did well last year. He's looking to improve things that, he didn't do so well last year. So, and I think that's one of them. I think, watching, seeing more pitches is important for him. And especially with the lineup around him, like seeing more pitches is a good thing.
It's been huge, because it used to be if Didi didn't put the ball in play, then he couldn't really do you a lot of good at the plate. But now he's getting on base at a high rate, which it totally changes his game. Puts him, I don't even think Brian Kenny could deny at that point, puts him in the top 5 shortstop range. But I think at this point, because I don't know if you've noticed, but Kenny is really chirping a lot of Yankees fans on Twitter. I think he's trolling, looking for that attention. He's getting those retweets. He's getting those mentions. So I understand what he's doing. He's still putting him number 10 out of the 10 shortstops. But if this is the real Didi, where he's going to be walking at a higher rate and he's going to be slugging at a higher rate, well, then he's definitely in the top 5 shortstops, for whatever that means. It doesn't really matter. Bottom line is, you and I and all Yankee fans are happy Didi's on the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, the list is getting ridiculous at this point for keeping Didi. I mean, he wasn't even on his initial list. The second one, he squeezed
him on the top 10.
Cracked him in at number 10. Oh, thank you very much. He's got, who did he have on there that was ahead? Elvis Andrews. Really? Like, Elvis Andrews has been a disappointment his entire career. How old is he now? He's got to be 30 plus, right? I don't know. He's always been like a young guy, but he's been a young guy for like 10 years, it seems like.
Right.
Who has never really played to his
he's
potential.
He's 29.
Yeah, okay.
He feels like he's been in the league for 10 years.
He has
years,
been
though.
In the league for a while. But, yeah. There's no possible way you could put a guy like Elvis Andrews ahead of Didi Gregorius at this point. Didi's just a better player all around. It's not even close.
Well, I just think it's disingenuous, and I hate when guys will just stick to an argument. I've never done that. I've never just stuck to an argument because I said something and got myself in neck deep and then had to just stay there to defend my turf. I've never had to do that.
No. I've never heard this before. I've never heard this kind of a stance before in my life, but... at this point, it's utterly ridiculous, some of the people that he has above him. So whatever, it doesn't matter. It's entertainment for him, and like you said, he's getting the attention. So.
Right now, Didi is slugging .804, which is not sustainable. I mean, that's Barry Bonds territory. That's Barry Bonds mid horse steroids 2004 territory. So he's not going to be slugging .804, but he's still, if he can continue, if he continues to be patient and take more walks, I think he's going to have a huge season, and he's going to not only put himself in the All-Star category, but he's going to put himself in MVP talks with the way he's playing. Speaking of MVP, Judge is off to a better start than last year, if you can believe that. He's slashing .339, .480, .593, and he's leading the league in walks. And he is actually striking out at a less frequent rate than he did last year. He's striking out 24% of the time this year versus 30% last year. So in the small sample size through 16 games, Judge is striking out less, putting the bat on the ball more. And when he puts the bat on the ball, he does some serious damage because he hits it so freaking hard.
Yeah, and I think this is just another one of those guys who's a cerebral player and can make adjustments. And, you know, I don't know if these guys are you key off of each other and the way that they prepare and the way that they do things. I got to believe that they do because there are a lot of very good hitters. Someone, the new guy's not paying attention, obviously, but the fact that he can cut that strikeout rate down even further, and if he can continue to build on that, it's just so impressive to me. It's impressive to me that you see a guy – like literally I could just gush about Aaron Judge all day long. But when you see a guy as big as he is with as big of a strike zone as he is that walks that many times, that's a very big point to the way that he, you know, approaches his at-bats and can lay off pitches. So it's natural for that strikeout rate to go down because he walks so much. He's got a great eye. He knows when he can make contact a lot of the time. So he's just super impressive. And the fact that he came out, he's already off to a really good start is really good to see. Cause I know a lot of people were wondering, you know, which guy is the real Aaron Judge? We saw the Triple Crown, you know, contender early in the season or first half of the season, really. Then he hit that slump and then, you know, he kind of found his form again. So he's coming out and this is the real Aaron Judge. I definitely believe it.
Yeah. And he set another record. He passed Mark McGwire for the fastest ever to 60 home runs. So like I said, him and Didi are the two hot guys in the lineup. Do you think Boone's going to shift the lineup around to put them back-to-back in the order, maybe move Didi up to number three? Boone kind of teased it. He was asked about if he's going to move Stanton down with all of his struggles, and he said, and he didn't deny it. He said, I might entertain that, moving him down, but not too far. So I could see him doing something where he moves Stanton to five, and then he just slides Didi up to three, Sanchez up to four, try and bunch those guys that are going hot right now.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense, especially if you're going up against a right-handed pitcher where you can stack Didi or you put Didi in between some right-handed bats to just mix it up a little higher up in the lineup. I mean, and the way that he's going, giving him more protection, giving it Didi some more pitches to see is not a bad thing. So sandwich him between Judge and Sanchez right now with the way that they're hitting is a good thing. And yeah, you know what? It's not the worst thing in the world. Like you don't have to keep him in that spot because I didn't think he was going to be in the three hole anyway. I thought, you know, if Bird was healthy, he would have been in that three hole. And then you're seeing Stanton in the four, maybe five, depending on what Sanchez is doing. But I think those guys are totally interchangeable.
What the hell is going on, though, with Stanton and his home road splits? He's 3-for-35 at Yankee Stadium with a homer, 3 RBIs, and 20 strikeouts. And on the road, he's playing fine. 10-for-31, which is a .323 average, 2 homers, 7 RBIs, and only 9 strikeouts. So I just don't understand such a drastic shift. Like he went to Fenway Park last week and had a great series. And right. You thought, okay, he's going to come home. And at least if we could take something positive out of that series, Stanton seemed to have turned it around. And he comes home and he's lost again.
Yeah, it's weird. And, you know, one of the things I've been talking about, and other people have been saying it as well, is just the way he carries himself, the way that it doesn't seem like anything bothers him. Well, when you look at the splits, something's bothering him. Something is for sure different when he goes to Yankee Stadium and when he gets away. I don't know if it's just he's a little bit wound tighter and like trying too hard to get out of that in front of the home crowd. And at home, on the road, he's just more loose and is playing the game. I don't know. But when you look at those numbers, something's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's not the park. It's not like we're hit. It's not a bad park to hit home runs in.
No. And you can't say the weather because it was cold as hell up at Fenway, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of articles I've read about him and cold weather and it just doesn't work well, but whatever. You know what?
Well, like if he's going to be playing in October, if the Yankees are going to be playing in October, it's going to be cold in October. So he better get used to it. Put some Icy Hot on himself, like Roger Clemens used to do to warm that body up. Like you got to do something, man.
Drink some coffee. Do some jumping jacks. You know what I mean? Like
you're actually supposed to put cold into your system when it's cold out.
Okay. Well, put some colds into your system. Whatever.
Iced coffee.
whatever you got to do.
Did you read you said you were reading some articles about Stan. Did you read the one in the New York Post about maybe he's struggling because his furniture in his apartment hasn't arrived yet?
No, I didn't see that. Did the kid on the Mets that he's bunking with change the order?
Yeah. First of all, what the hell is Stanton doing with a roommate? Second of all, why didn't he have some gopher? Like he was traded, what, in December? He could have had his apartment ready a long time ago. What the hell is he getting it ready for in the first week of the season?
Yeah, it's weird. It's bad timing. It's people around him are not doing so well. There should be agents taking care of this nonsense.
Yeah.
Or interns at the agency.
Don't the Yankees his agency or the Yankees have someone to just handle all this kind of shit for you so you're just focused on playing baseball?
Yeah. I don't know why he's got a roommate with that. I mean, I guess it's a new city. You're trying to... They're friends.
Well, they bunked together, or not bunked, but they were friendly, I believe. Bunked together. Yeah. I'm picturing back to the 61 movie. Remember?
Right.
Yeah, when Maris and Mantle got together, got bunked up in Queens or whatever it was.
It was away from the city so that Mickey Mantle wouldn't drink himself into a complete stupor. Yeah, it was. Maybe that's it. Maybe Stanton needs some assistance with when he's there to not get in trouble. I've never heard anything bad about him like going out or anything like that. So I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he just gets lonely. I don't know. But the bottom line is, he's not hitting at home, and he needs to figure that shit out real fast because people are getting fed up. I mean,
yeah,
they've been fed up, but there's good reason to be fed up when you have a guy that's the reigning National League MVP and you trade for him in the offseason and all this hype and all this stuff, and he comes out and just lays an egg at home. So I got no problem with people booing. It's whatever. It's just people voicing the fact that they're unhappy. It's not like they're booing somebody because they don't like them as a person. It's like nobody takes that shit personally. You're just not happy with what's happening on the field.
Do you think he is bothered by the boos?
No, I think he's bothered by the way he's playing. I think he's more bothered that he's not producing. I don't think he cares at all about the boos. Like, I don't think that stuff bothers him. I think that maybe he is pressing a little too much in front of the crowd, possibly because of the pressure and the, I don't think he'll admit that, but you got to believe that when you're home and he wants to do well so badly that you're pressing harder. And baseball, that's the worst thing you can do. You got to be a loose, go out there and let your body do what it does and see the ball hit the ball. You don't want to think about anything. And when that happens, usually bad things happen.
Well, how do you fix it? If you're Boone, like what is Aaron Boone in there saying to Stan?
Yeah, I don't know. There's not too much to say to him at this point. He's a veteran guy who should be able to handle situations like this. I mean, he's gone through long slumps, right? So,
talked about his slumps that he went through a couple episodes ago. I mean, he struck out 15 times in, what was it, like 17 at-bats? I've never heard of a slump worse than that.
Well, 20 strikeouts and 35 at-bats at home is pretty freaking bad. Yeah, that's the home crowd getting booed every single time.
He's rivaling it. Yeah.
And you know, it's a lot worse when you're doing that at Yankee Stadium than you're doing it in freaking Florida.
No one
there's
cares.
Five people there. You got Marlins man whistling at you.
Marlins man was at the stadium this week, apparently. Wasn't he wearing a Jeter Marlins jersey?
I didn't see that. All I see is orange, so I see him with his stupid visor, and, he's there. But, there's more pressure in New York, bottom line. And he's also the new guy trying to get off on the right foot, and it's everything's going against him.
Well, it's just so weird because he had the huge game on opening day in Toronto. I understand that wasn't in front of the Yankees fans at home, but it was still like the monkey off his back. He got it out of the way, and he had a decent series up in Toronto. He came home, struck out five times, but then he had the home run against Blake Snell the next day. So he got like these hurdles out of the way. It just seems like he's regressed since then.
It just seems like he keeps going back into these canyons at home, and with the five strikeout game starting it, hitting that home run, but then he just never found that groove. Look, as soon as he finds it, he's going to be red hot, and he's going to hit 20 home runs in 30 at bats. Like the guy's going to go on a tear at some point, because you know why? Because that's baseball, Susan. That's what happens. That's what happens in baseball. You go on streaks. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're good. He's going to hit a really good one, and we're all going to be with our mouths dropped because this guy's going to be hitting bombs every time he's up.
But you're right. Like he's not a young player. He's a reigning MVP. So Boone can't, it's not like Boone needs to go in there and coach this young player. I mean, he's just got to let the guy do what he does to get out of his slump. And
one of the things that he could potentially say is that, you know, hey, I was traded. I was a guy that came over for, I came over to play in New York and it was different. I had to adjust. I hit this big home run. You know, Boone has felt the ins and outs of this crowd as well. So maybe there is a bit of counsel there.
But Boone never had the target on it. Boone was never the number one guy.
So. 100% not. 100% not.
And also for Boone, like, this is a learning experience for him as well. This is he's never coached a player through this kind of stuff before. If you had Girardi or if you had Joe Torre, who had years and years of experience with coaching guys, coaching young guys, coaching veterans through slumps, it'd be different. But if you're Boone, you're also trying to figure out what the hell is going on and what you say to a player at these certain times.
Well, and the other thing that, you know, we don't really think about too much is that everybody's seeing this guy for the first time, or, you know, extended first time, but he's also on this team for the first time with the guys around him, his teammates. And he looks really bad right now around his teammates, and especially one guy who looks, who's like the equivalent of him and like the mirror image of him, who's off to a freaking ridiculous start. So there are internal pressures with him not hitting right now as well. And just by looking at these splits, he's feeling it.
Well, we talked about in the offseason, one of the things we really liked about having Stanton and Judge on the same team is they could help each other.
Right.
Judge maybe can go to Stanton and say, look, I dealt with this last year. Here's how I got out of it. So
their swings are so different, though. Even
there are no. I'm not talking about mechanics. I'm just talking about just general mentality, I guess.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to be able to really, I think, help each other out in the hitting game and with certain aspects of it. But when you look at them play every day, they're just such different. The way that they hit is. Very different.
They're different styles, but don't you remember CeCe talking in spring training that as a pitcher, he would attack them the same way? So it doesn't matter how your stance is or how your swing is. If you're seeing the same types of pitches and the same repertoire from guys, that can be helpful.
That is definitely helpful for sure. That is something I hope they figure out.
If we're talking like they haven't, like this hasn't dawned on them yet, like they haven't had conversations.
Like, they haven't had the Spider-Man GIF moment, you know, like, yeah. Wait a minute, what?
After, you know, I saw Harlan Garcia pitch last night against the Yankees. He actually looked pretty decent. And he's had a good start to the season, 21 innings for Garcia and 0.86 ERA and only 6 hits allowed. He has walked 11 guys and only struck out 13, so perhaps he's getting lucky. His FIP is basically only league average, so that does indicate he is lucky. But is there a chance that we look back at the end of the season and say, okay, well, Garcia had a good year. He's better than we thought he was. That's why he shut down the Yankees, not because they're just Jekyll and Hyde. Talked about Michael Pineda being Jekyll and Hyde. Well, the Yankees as a team right now are Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, they are Jekyll and Hyde as a team. Maybe this guy's better than we think he is. I don't know. You know, we haven't seen enough about this guy, and we'll probably forget about him forever after that game. But, you know, he could be a better pitcher. I mean, he's different. That's one thing that that guys struggle with a lot of times when they see somebody who's a little different or they haven't seen too often. I know he's had a really good start. So look, he's got a lot of confidence, and this team came off of a game, where they almost, it seems like they got rid of all their runs in the game before. So, you know, he was trying to take advantage of certain aspects, and it worked. So I don't know what we look back. I still think, like I was saying this in that video after the game, like we're going to look back at this game and we're going to laugh about it because the fact that they lost to the Marlins, and I expect the Marlins to be being up there with some of the worst in the league at the end of the year, and we're going to look back and we're like, we should have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, the Marlins are going to win like 60 to 65 games.
Yeah, I mean, they got their asses kicked by the Marlins. They didn't just lose. They got dominated.
There's no excuse. When you have Tanaka on the mound, Tanaka supposed to be your number two pitcher, he absolutely looked terrible. I know the defense didn't help him.
The defense was awful too.
Yeah, Didi with that error in the first inning kind of just had the snowball effect at that point. You knew it was all downhill from there. And the Yankees defense as a whole has been bad. They lead the American League with 17 errors. Brandon Drury, who can't see half the time, has three of them. But still, you don't expect Didi and some of these other guys to be making these errors. But Tanaka did himself no favors. He got himself into these jams. He was throwing junk up there. He was a junk ball pitcher last night, which is the most concerning aspect. I know we mentioned that he's not throwing many fastballs on the last episode, but it was like really apparent and kind of concerning. As I was watching him, in every pitch, I would look up on the board, 84 miles an hour, 87 miles an hour, 83 miles an hour. It's like nothing over 90.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. One of the things, too, is that he's not locating these breaking balls either. And if he's able to go up there and control guys with the arsenal that he's game planning, then fine. But it's not working. So how about we try something a little different? Maybe mix in a few fastballs, especially when guys are not looking for it at this point. Let's try to sneak in some and try to change things up, change the eye level, change the timing of the guys a little bit. But, you know, it's like he walks in with a game plan and doesn't alter from it at all, even when it's not working or even when he doesn't have the stuff, for the arsenal that he's chosen for that day. I don't know. It is concerning because you'd like to think that a guy like Tanaka can make some in-game adjustments if he knows that the pitches that he normally can throw for strikes are just not going over the plate right now. And you'd like to think that anybody in the major leagues, unless your name is Dellin Betances, can throw a fastball over the plate and control a fastball. 97% of these guys can control the fastball. And he's just still not throwing it. So it's weird.
Well, you would also like to think that a pitcher of Tanaka's caliber, even if he doesn't have his A game, can still battle out there against the Marlins, and he wasn't able to do that. We're not talking about going up against the Red Sox or going up against the Astros. Those have like awesome lineups, and if you're not on your A game, you're going to get hit. The Marlins are minor league Marlins, and he could not battle out there.
Well, and I think that goes to the fact that he wouldn't even change what he was doing. I mean, if you don't have your A game, but you're still leaving pitches on the table, you know, why not try to throw some new stuff and actually see what works? Because the things that you're throwing are not working. How about you throw in some fastballs with that? I mean, it's not brain surgery. This is not rocket science. Try things that are different if what you're doing is not working. It's really not that difficult.
Severino, on the opposite hand, had a good start against the crappy lineup of the Marlins. Six innings, only one hit, eight strikeouts. He would have pitched deeper if it wasn't for the blowout. So he had a bounce back start after his Boston start. He was attacking those hitters, which is what we wanted to see Tanaka do. He had his slider working. So both needed to have bounce back starts. Severino did it. Tanaka didn't do it.
He threw a fastball occasionally, huh? It was
he loves his fastball.
Yeah, he does love his fastball.
It's a good fastball. And Tanaka's fastball isn't good, so I'm not asking him to throw a lot more fastballs, be a fastball heavy pitcher, but you got to try something different when you're going up there with splitter after splitter and slider after slider, and it's not working. How about you try mixing in a two seamer to try and get some ground balls? You try, you try getting some weak fly balls with some four seamers. Do something.
Well,
change what the velocity these guys are seeing.
And I think I've probably said this on every episode of the past month, but if you're not working off of other pitches, the pitches that you deem effective, that have been effective in the past, may not be working as well if you don't have something to work off of it. For Severino, he uses the fastball to set up the slider, and he uses the changeup occasionally, so it's a different look out of his hand. It looks like a fastball. And he doesn't have to throw it often, but he just has to prove that he can throw it and that he will throw it. And that's what I'm asking for Tanaka. I'm not asking for him to be the throw a ton of fastballs, but you got to show the fastball. And he's got two fastballs. He throws a two seam and a four seam. Why not throw some in there? I just don't understand why we're not seeing more of this. And I know Larry Rothschild has really taken down the fastball percentage, but you gotta mix things up.
He used to throw a cutter, too. It was always his least used pitch, but he used to have a cutter, especially in his first season.
Well, let's see the cutter again. Throw back the cutter.
Can we get Mariano in there for some cutter lessons or something?
I'm sure they could call him. You know, he's on speed dial. He's probably doing a Steiner event this weekend.
He's still in the New York area, I believe. He didn't move out of town.
Right.
And Duhar, after starting 0-for-12 at the plate, has looked really good over his last seven games. .321 average with six extra base hits, and he had his first homer, first major league homer on Tuesday, which avoided the embarrassing shutout. So I really have liked what we saw out of Andujar recently. His approach at the plate looks better. Remember we were saying it looks like he's trying to hit the ball 500 feet every time?
Yeah.
I think he was. He's no longer trying to do that. He's got pop in that bat. Now he's just focused on making hard contact, and we're seeing those results. He looks more comfortable now, which is huge, because this is his shot.
This is his shot, and that, I think that's the key word is comfort, is that when he was up the first time, the first time this year, he was trying to do too much, and it just wasn't working. And it just goes along the whole thought process of when you try too hard in baseball, usually does not work out in your favor. So, you know, I think he relaxed a little bit, got comfortable, and started, you know, seeing the ball, letting the ball travel to him a little bit more, and hitting the ball. So he's made a couple nice plays in the field. He's made some bonehead plays as well. He's got a really strong arm. That throw he made last night from his knees to first, or was it second base? I don't remember. It was to first. It was a great throw. I mean, he's got the arm. There's no doubt about it. But you know, he's got to clean up some of the easier fundamental things that he like that little dribbler he booted. He should have made that play.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine that internally the Yankees are still concerned with his defense. And defensive metrics, I know it's a small sample size still, are showing that he's below average. But I'd have to imagine the Yankees still want to see improvement there. And if Drury comes back and can see straight, I would think he fits back into third. I don't know where that leaves Andujar.
No, and especially we're seeing, you know, we talked last week about, or last show about Gleyber Torres, when he's in the minors, playing a lot more third base, and they just continue to keep putting him there.
Yeah, so seven games in a row.
He's getting a lot of reps at third base. So whether that's just because, you know, he hadn't had a lot of them before that, and they're just trying to get his comfort level up, seems like a little odd, though, to do that many in a row without mixing in some second.
Right. Well, the Yankees could use a second baseman right now because Tyler Wade's been MIA. Walker's been horrible. So
here we go. Let's dismiss the Ronald Torres again. Here you go.
No, Torres mm-hmm. is the guy that can shift around the infield. He's the utility man. I'm fine with him being the utility man.
You know, he's playing second base really well.
When
you still want him to play second base, do you? Let this one go.
I want to see Gleyber Torres. Now he can get called up. We've reached the day as we're recording this. He can get called up. When he got pulled on Monday night, people were freaking out. People either thought, oh, he's getting called up, and they're just pulling him 3 days early for some reason.
A hug watch was on 3 days, 3 days before the deadline.
Or he was injured, and that turns out he was dealing with a little bit of a sore back or stiff back, and his mid-back stiffness was officially what they called it. But he was back in the lineup on Wednesday after getting Tuesday off, so I guess no
crisis
real,
avoided for now.
Yeah, crisis averted because that was either going to be joyous or scary.
And everybody's head goes to the dumps. I mean, that's where mine went. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me, not again. And that's all I was thinking, was that he's going to be hurt. This is exactly how it's been going this year.
Everyone else is getting hurt. Why not Gleyber?
Yeah. But luckily, you know, they put him back in. It was obviously nothing. It was something extremely minor, because 2 days later, he's back in the game. So that leads me to believe it was absolutely nothing, because otherwise they would have held him out for precautionary reasons.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect to see him in the Bronx by the end of this homestand?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I kind of expect it to be any day, honestly. I think it's going to be any time. I don't know why. If he continues to hit and he's playing, yeah, I do. I think he's going to come up sooner than later.
Do you think
they're really calling for it?
Do you think Drury's status, because Drury, we're going to get into some injury updates now, but Brennan Drury was taking fielding practice and took BP this week at the stadium. If he is on a timeline where he could come back within a week or 2 weeks, do you think that affects Gleyber at all?
I don't think it's, even though he has been playing seven games in a row at third base, I still don't think he's going to be the third baseman. I don't think they want him to be. I think that he right now could come up here and play second base and start at second base and be in a drastic improvement. So no, I don't think third base has anything to do with what he's doing. I know he's playing there because they want to see him, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but you know, third base, if Drury comes back, it's between him and Andujar probably gets sent down. But
Not if he keeps hitting like this. You can't if a kid is hitting, I know he's like we
then
just
it's
said,
Tyler Wade. Then Tyler Wade goes away.
It's got to be Tyler Wade. He's not even playing at this point.
No, he's not. And look, right now, if you called up Gleyber Torres, he would be an upgraded second base right now.
Yes.
So why are we waiting?
I agree.
Let's go.
And they're going to keep Walker on the roster because he can play first base. But Neil Walker has been completely trash at the plate.
He's been atrocious. He's been Stephen Drew-like. It's been...
No, Stephen Drew would have had 3 home runs already.
You're right. He would have had a couple home runs. Neil Walker has been an embarrassment to himself. I don't know what his deal is. We keep saying that this guy's a hitter. He's always hit. That's what he does. He hits.
Well, he has.
He hasn't hit a damn thing.
He had the one home run that a fan could have aided over the fence against Baltimore. But other than that, I can't remember him hitting a ball hard.
No, we're leaning on his experience, or, you know, his past, the back of his baseball card. That's what we're all, you know, banking on. We're like, when is that happening? When does the good hitting Neil Walker show up? But no, he's been really, really bad.
He's going to get more playing time because Tyler Austin's suspension is coming up. And that's probably why we saw the Adam Lind, the return of the great Adam Lind.
Yep. I mean, it's a good move. I'm actually still surprised that he wasn't on a team, honestly. You know, he was a good player. He's a serviceable first baseman, and there's definitely teams that could use him.
I mean,
I'm surprised.
Shit, at this point, if a guy can put together some competitive at bats, put him in the lineup because we're missing that from a lot of positions right now.
We are. He's a veteran guy that can do that. So I think it was a smart signing. They should get him in the lineup. But Neil Walker absolutely needs to get his head out of his ass because he's been terrible.
Tommy Fortnite Canley was placed in the DL with tendonitis in his right shoulder. Luis Sessa was called up back in his place, and then Luis Sessa promptly went on the DL, which is the Yankees 2018 in a nutshell.
It's crazy. I couldn't believe that immediately. And he actually looked really good when he was throwing. And we could say, yeah, it was against the Marlins, but whatever. The Marlins had put up 9 runs by that point. I'm just looking at he drives me nuts because when you're watching him pitch sometimes, some of the movement on his pitches is just ridiculous. Like he has that fastball that trails into right-handed batters and away from lefties that when he throws it well is filthy. It's just a matter of him being consistent, and here's just another hurdle for him. It's unfortunate because I thought we were going to see maybe some good stuff.
I am kind of the Canley news came. I kind of got some satisfaction out of it because now we know why there was some dip in velocity, and it wasn't just a mystery mechanical issue. Hopefully, a lot of times in these types of situations, a guy goes on the DL, he fixes whatever is bothering him, gets healed in a week or 2 weeks, even 3 weeks, and he comes back and he's Tommy Canley again. I much rather deal with that than have him trot out there for the next month and we just can't figure out why Tommy Canley is throwing 4 miles an hour slower.
And, you know, it could have been some kind of a mechanical thing because there was soreness somewhere or something was happening and he was compensating for it. And, you know, that will affect your mechanics. So it could have been a number of these things that kind of work hand in hand to affect their performance. So, yeah, we need him healthy during the main stretch. So let's just get everybody out of the way now. Put them all, you know, put everybody in the hospital. Let them get healthy and come back in the middle of May when things warm up and we'll be good.
It's not all bad news. We've got guys coming back. CeCe's making his return starting on Thursday.
Good things for him. I mean, that was a guy that we, you know, was probably, if push come to shove, you know, wouldn't have been on a DL stint if it was a crucial time of the season, most likely, because, you know, he said after that day, he still didn't feel it. So I'm glad he's back. I'm glad it was nothing lingering. Because right now we need a guy like CeCe to go in there and give some innings. And
you know when I knew CeCe was healthy? When I saw him moving the pile in that brawl last week.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, he's doing that with even injured. Like, adrenaline's going there. Like, crazy CeCe comes into play. You don't feel injuries at that point. He's just got that big smile on his face and just moving bodies.
Greg Bird is going to start baseball activities this week. I feel like Greg Bird and baseball activities, that should be on his baseball reference page. Just no stats, just baseball activities.
Yeah, I love how everybody's the news is that he played catch in the outfield. Okay, well, him throwing the ball wasn't never the problem. It was always about the foot and the ankle and the weird bone.
Oh, he had the shoulder issue.
Remember he had the 2 years ago. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
But the recent the soft bird bones is what I'm talking about.
String cheese bones.
Yeah, it's like chicken bones in his foot. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's got chicken bones. That's okay. Bones.
He might start to get into some rehab games once the Yankees fly west. And then Jacoby Ellsbury one-upped him. He's hurt again with plantar fasciitis.
That's impressive. That's an impressive string of injuries when you're doing nothing. I don't understand how he's getting hurt consecutively. He just continuously like turns one injury into another injury. It's pretty impressive. It's like the catcher's interference.
Yes, of, it's prolific.
Of staying on the disabled list.
I don't know what he's better at. What is he better at? Getting hurt or catcher's interference?
Man, tough one. It's a toss up. He's really good at both. Hall of Famer on both sides.
All right. Before we get out of here, let's briefly talk about this Toronto series. Four games at the stadium. The pitching matchups are CeCe versus Aaron Sanchez, Sonny Gray versus Marco Estrada, Jordan Montgomery versus Marcus Stroman, and then Luis Severino versus Jaime Garcia. Yes.
Jamie?
Yes, Jamie Garcia is making his return to the Bronx. Looked up some stats here from the series, some things to keep an eye on. Justin Smoke's ownership, not only of the Yankees, but also he owns CeCe, 992 OPS with two homers career. But CeCe has pitched well against Granderson in his career, allowed only a 167 batting average against. I still think this is sort of a tough matchup for CeCe when you get a lot of these AL East teams.
Yeah, there's a lot of right-handed power again in a lot of these teams, and unfortunately he can get exposed when you get a good right-handed bat up there with power. But you know, again, smart guy, hopefully he can work around it. But Justin Smoke's I just really don't want to pitch to him very often this series, because he's the one guy that I don't want the Yankees to let him beat this team, because if they do, it's going to be infuriating, because he's the one guy on that team who has just absolutely destroyed this team. So they need to be very careful with
Yankees
him.
Got lucky last time because Donaldson was dealing with that shoulder issue. I don't even know what is Donaldson. I don't know what his deal is
at this point. I have no idea, but you know, I'm still looking right at Justin Smoke. We have that situation again, and you're pitching to one of the two. I hope everybody makes the right decision this time.
Right.
Pitch to Donaldson. I mean, I know, like, be careful what you ask for, but at the same time, Justin Smoke.
He's out. Donaldson's out. I just looked up. There's a headline. Perfect. Not ready to return to the lineup. So yeah, do not let Justin Smoke beat you.
That's really the guy, right? I mean, you're looking up and down this lineup. Like, that's the guy you don't want to beat you.
Blue Jays are off to a good start.
They are. This is one of those teams when we talked about when we were doing the previews and talking to the guys from each city. This was one of those teams that I was talked into, like, oh, damn, maybe they're not as bad as I thought they were. They got some sneaky pickups. They picked up some outfielders. Like, their whole outfield is basically retooled besides Pilar. And, you know, they have some good position players. Devin, the second baseman, he is a good ball player, and he has beat the Yankees quite a bit. There are a couple guys on this team that just don't hit anybody else but the Yankees. So I just don't want Justin Smoke to get that big, huge grand slam home run in a crucial situation, or a 3-run shot or a 2-run shot. You could pitch to him when there's nobody on base. Other than that, be careful.
These are the games, though, that the Yankees are going to have to start playing well. 4 versus Toronto and then 4 versus Minnesota, all at home before they go on the road to Anaheim and Houston, two tough teams. So it's kind of these next 8 games are going to tell us a lot about how that road trip is going to go.
It's funny. How many times did we say that last year and the year before that? Oh, this next stretch is going to be it. But this is a huge stretch. This is a huge stretch, because
don't be fooled. It doesn't. Just when you let your guard down, don't think it's a huge stretch. It's a huge stretch.
It's a huge stretch. But it doesn't stop there. That's the thing. After the games that you said, Cleveland and Boston are right around the corner after that. Like this.
Yeah, but that's so far down the road.
2 to 3 weeks. I know, but it's a lot of games back, like very stacked together. There's really not much time, and you're not looking at an opponent in the next 3 weeks that's a walkover, like, at all, especially after what happened in Miami or with Miami. But they're all good teams coming in. So the Yankees got to get their shit together now, or they're going to be in a massive hole.
And then Friday's game, Sonny is pitching, and he's going to have to turn this around at some point. He did not look good in his first start against Toronto this season. He only gave up where's his line? I'm looking for it right now. He only gave up, I believe, one run, but he had 10 base runners and threw 89 pitches in 4 innings.
Well, that's the thing. He was going deep into counts again. You know, it was just – it's been the same guy. He's not being aggressive around the strike zone. And he needs to be aggressive around the strike zone. Not just talk about it, but be about it. Let's be the change there, Sonny. Not talk about it. Nobody likes the guy who talks about all these things and then doesn't do it. You know, he's got to make these adjustments.
And if we're looking for Stanton to get off the schneid, maybe it's Sunday against Jaime Garcia because he's 7-for-12 with 3 homers.
That's a good day to do it. I don't really want to wait that long, but if he could do it before that would be terrific. But yeah, and by the way, looking at the schedule, it's Astros, then without a day off, right into Indians at home, and then Monday off Red Sox series. There's a lot of big games with one day off.
I mean, that's... But we just talked about at the top of this show that maybe they don't need any more days off. They've had enough days off. Maybe let's just start playing baseball every day.
Right. That's what I'm kind of holding my hat on. I think that this could be one of those stretches where they actually could get into a groove. And maybe, just maybe, the competition being raised up a little bit and some of these good teams coming in
gets guys
going. Because
play to your competition.
That's also a thing. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of a lax when you see the Marlins coming into town. I'm surprised there was one with Giancarlo Stanton, honestly, but you know, he obviously didn't get up for that game for sticking it to the Marlins fans, all 10 of them, but
they didn't want to be there. Once they got down big, they didn't want to be there. Just like the Marlins didn't want to be there Monday.
No. Yeah. That was the last 3 innings of that game were a joke.
Yeah. Reminder guys that, next episode, we're going to be doing mailbags and voicemails. So call up the voicemail line. It's 646-480-0342. Hopefully you put it in speed dial like we reminded you to do last time. And to submit mailbag questions, go to bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at Yankees Podcast. Follow it on Facebook. Search the Bronx Pinstripe Show. We always have some good discussions in game there. So Scott, you're optimistic. You're always the optimistic one. You're sticking with that? That's what you're hanging your hat on?
I mean, I got nothing else to go on. I mean, at this point, it does no good to be negative. It's just when you see a team struggling like this and you see some of these guys that are just not, I mean, you can't get much worse than what Giancarlo Stanton's doing right now. You really can't. 20 strikeouts and 35 at bats at home. Like, it does not get much worse than that. And even if it does, if you had a higher percentage of strikeouts, it wouldn't feel any worse.
What's the difference?
He's still making outs. It's still just as bad. Exactly. So there's only one way to go, and that's up. And, you know, look, he's the freaking reigning MVP. He's going to be fine. This guy is a good baseball player. He's having a bad time right now. But no, I am confident. I think this team will be just fine.
How would you rate my level of negativity?
I don't think it's that bad. I think you've been influenced pretty well by me over the past couple of years. I think your head is out of the sand.
It's not. I'm trying to look at this thing objectively and realize that there are some positives to take away. There's also a lot of negatives, but we think this team has too much talent to be this shitty.
I know it's so cliche. It's just still too early to make a determination on what this
team is. Of course it is.
And that's the biggest thing. It's the time is on our side, and that's one of the biggest reasons why, like, we have so many freaking games ahead of us. How can you not be optimistic for them to be playing that many games and not start to do well? Like you said, the talent is ridiculous.
Right. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.